For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome back to the Deuce and Mo podcast. Recording this on a Monday night. King's back at home yet again, hosting the defending champs. Some good news. Domantas Sabonis is back. The bad, Malik Monk still out. And Devin Carter also out. More bad news. The Celtics clap that ass tonight. An impressive showing by the Boston Celtics, who lost Jason Tatum late in the third quarter with an ankle injury. Jaylen Brown did not play the fourth quarter, but Tatum was massive when he did play. The Celtics bench was awesome. Peyton Pritchard with 22 points. The Celtics knocked down 19 of 50 from downtown. Sacramento just 8 of 24, and Boston controlled things in the second half, beating Sacramento tonight 113-95. With the loss, the Kings dip below 500, mm-hmm. which just looks bad.
Uh-huh.
Just literally looks bad. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the Suns, the Mavericks, both won. Devin Booker hit a game winner against the Bucks, and Anthony Davis returned for the Dallas Mavericks, and the Mavs beat the Nets. So both those teams, just a half game back of the Sacramento Kings. Mm-mm-mm. Yikes. This podcast presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
I'm fine. I think it is what it is at this point of the season for the Sacramento Kings. And anything good that they do could surprise us.
Yeah, you just hear the Undertaker bells in the background. Yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to help me with that, but it's fine.
What part am I supposed to do?
Just the song. You kind of go with me on it. I don't. It's okay. You'll probably hear it tomorrow after the Kings lose to the Thunder. Anyway, yeah, the Kings play OKC tomorrow night, the best team in the league. Second half of back-to-back, that game on TNT. This game, where did things go wrong? Well, the Kings actually played a pretty competitive first half.
Oh,
there were some good things.
The way they started.
Although Jason Tatum, you could just tell early on, was completely locked in. And he continues to be one of those guys that I still don't think he gets the appreciation he deserves, even Agreed. After winning an NBA championship.
Agreed.
Right? After what the Celtics were able to do last year in the finals. He had 25 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, and just 26 minutes of work. He left the game in the third quarter when Sabonis was switched out on Tatum, closed out, and Tatum landed on Sabonis's foot, rolled his ankle.
Yeah.
He looked like he was in a tremendous amount of pain.
Pain.
They reviewed it. They called it a flagrant foul.
Yeah.
He takes the free throw.
But yeah.
Ends up leaving the game, does not return. And that sequence, I felt like, swung the game for the Boston Celtics.
Completely
agree.
It was
a 7-point swing just like that, and the Boston Celtics never looked back.
Well, that being a 7-point swing, one, but I just felt like the energy of the game at that point was like, it went in the Celtics' favor, although I felt like the Kings could have capitalized on what the Celtics maybe were missing, or maybe they could have been down after Jason Tatum went down. Sure, they have a lot of other pieces to go around and get shit done, but sometimes what that can do for the morale, and all it did was fire them up to just keep going and even take off even more.
Dude, their bench was awesome. Outscoring Sacramento's bench 46-16. Peyton Pritchard, just a dog out there. He was spectacular. I think for Sacramento, first things first, LaVine is just not comfortable with the Kings.
No.
I mean, there have been glimpses where, oh, he's got it going. They have just not found a way to get him where he feels comfortable being aggressive constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Doug Christie says that's what he wants. It seems like all of his teammates say, hey, we got to help him get there. It's just not working. He took two shots in the first quarter, did not score in this game until over halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah, that's not good.
And he turned it on like he was more aggressive in the fourth quarter. But I'm like, okay, what is it going to take to help him out in these situations? Now, part of this too, I think the Kings just desperately need a point guard, and not having Malik Monk there to put pressure on the defense is a big deal. But I think traditionally when you look at LaVine's success for the years, when he's been really at his best, they've had a point guard.
Sure. Yes,
breaking news, teams need point guards. Breaking the Kings news. Just don't have that at this point mm-hmm. in time. And I felt like tonight, Boston's defense was like, anytime he had the ball, unless it was in transition, but they were going to double him. They mm-hmm. were going to pressure him.
Yep.
He's not comfortable with pressure. He doesn't have the ability to break down the defense, in my opinion, unless he's, you know, taking in transition. But they've got to find some ways to get him involved. First of all, he's making a shit ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
You made this trade thinking mm-hmm. it was going to elevate you, and he took 5 threes in this game. What are you seeing with Zach LaVine?
Well, when you see him do things well, it always seems like he's being decisive and aggressive, not passive, looking for his first, whether it's a one dribble, step back three, or pump fake, take it to the rack. You know, he's going. And then you mention this, you go, okay, well, how do his teammates get him more involved? Like, let's just say when he doesn't have the ball. I don't think he necessarily wants to be in those catch and shoot situations. So he also has to move without the basketball. That's not relocating along the 3-point line. That's making sure you're dashing through the paint. And is it dashing?
Dashing.
I mean, slashing.
I like dashing.
I know. I was like, what? Yeah, yeah. Slashing through the paint with your speed, your athletic ability. Like, he's so capable. And to be a willing cutter takes a different mindset. I don't know if he doesn't feel like he's going to get the basketball at times, or if he's going to be in DeMar's way, if they're trying to go ISO, or if he feels like certain things are packed up there, whatever it is. But your teammates can only do so much for you if you're running a free-flowing offense. So you also have to do things for yourself. And I think we've seen it enough where it's just not consistent of him trying to take over and go.
Yeah, he's better off ball, yes. Right? And I think the ball pressure we have seen now since his time in Sacramento, like, he doesn't handle it well. And, you know, when the Celtics switch everything,
yeah,
and they'll make sure if there's a pick and roll situation, like, they're going to show and they're going to dig at the ball. They're going to try to make you uncomfortable. But I even thought there was a couple of plays, one in the first quarter when he drove, he had a look at the rim. And instead, last second, he dishes it to Sabonis. And I believe it was deflected out of bounds and it went to Boston. And that's another habit he's been in, is like passing up shots.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot pass up shots.
Look for yours first.
Like, we literally need you to score, especially without Malik Monk in the lineup. And so, but I do think the challenge is, like, he's just not a player that's like, Malik Monk can cross you up. He can handle the rock, even if he's sloppy and chaotic and does some crazy shit sometimes.
Yeah.
He can get to the rim. He can get to a spot in the mid range. He can hit threes. Very creative with the ball in the 2-man game with Sabonis. You don't have that same trust at all with LaVine. And so when Malik's gone and there's like pressure on him to bring up the ball sometimes, I'm looking around these lineups. It's like, okay, Keon's not, although he's gotten a lot better with the ball, he's not at that level. Keegan's not. Sabonis is a big. He could push sometimes. And then DeMar, who had some assists early on, and I thought he did a decent job, he doesn't play fast enough.
Nope.
This is problematic against a really good Boston Celtics team, especially when they can lock you down the half court.
And it's been problematic. I mean, that scenario alone has been problematic just against so many different matchups in the league. And you're gonna find ways to go around it against some of the teams that aren't as good as Boston. But it doesn't mean that it's still not a problem if you want to achieve things at a higher level than maybe make a play-in. So, yeah, when I look at the situation that they're in and the roster that they have, the first thing I think of is like, okay, I'm back to just like roster construction and how you figure that out again. And I feel like you're in a good place in the sense of you have assets and things to actually like work with and maybe trade in the off season and deal with. But I don't know what that means. This is me just like thinking about the future really quick and just going like, okay, yeah. Cause this roster deuce, when you say no true point guard and you just mentioned every single person bring up the ball and what that is, there's no identity. There's no point guard. There's no a lot of things with this team. And so that's why I look at tonight's game. And I think that's why I'm not so as frustrated.
Well, you shouldn't be. One, there's levels to this. I think you can be frustrated with the entirety of the season and what everyone's been through this year.
Yeah.
But like this game specifically, there's levels. And this team is a championship level team, and they show why. Even the second half, the adjustment that Mazzulla made. And, the Celtics do this often where they put their big like Horford on, they don't put him on like Sabonis, right?
Yeah.
Well, in the first half, they had Porzingis on Sabonis. Second half, they switched it up. They put Porzingis on DeRozan, mm-hmm. and then they put a smaller player, whether that be Jrue Holiday or Jaylen Brown or even Tatum, when he had to switch on to Sabonis. And early on, the Kings were trying to force feed it. And those guys play physical as fuck. They bump them.
Yeah.
Sabonis was getting frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
They baited them into this mismatch. And how many times have we said this with teams in the NBA? Is like, yeah, if they're giving you that, there's a reason they're giving it to you. And I thought the Kings had a couple of times where they realized it. It clicked and it went, oh, wait. Let's get Porzingis out in the perimeter to defend one of our guys. That led to Zach LaVine in the corner. When Porzingis closed out, LaVine puts the ball on the floor, jams it home. DeRozan got him one time. Those are the mismatches you attack in those situations, but they were trying to force feed it to Sabonis.
Yeah, and
it
big just on the wasn't small. Big working. On the, and it's not necessarily a small, because like a lot of these guys are just fantastic two-way guys.
Yep.
Like they have multiple of these guys, and it doesn't matter their size because they have the ability to poke the ball away, to be active, to disrupt, to play strong, like whatever they need to do. And that's what you saw with whatever body was being thrown at Sabonis. And you talk about then attacking Porzingis, off the dribble, like when Zach LaVine did that time baseline. It's just like those moments have to happen quicker. They have to happen more. Those adjustments have to happen more. And I just feel like the Kings always seem a step slow when it comes to those things.
And their bench was spectacular. And that's one thing from tonight. Even when I'm over here saying, well, I mean, look, there's levels to this. The Celtics are a better team, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know this. But like, so are the Cavs, and the Kings beat the Cavs, right? Mm-hmm. I thought Doug leaned too heavy on the starters in the third quarter. Like, he didn't go really to the bench guys until like 2:45 in the third. And I felt like leaning on, especially from an energy perspective, Laravia kind of makes shit happen out there.
Yep.
I want to see Laravia out there get some expanded minutes, And I know the bench was a little thinner than usual, right, without Devin Carter and, of course, Malik being gone, so that changes things too. Give me a little more Trey Lyles and Laravia. Let me just see this, because I felt like Boston's energy from their bench when they went there, they kind of just stuck with it. Like, Peyton Pritchard comes in right away, and he's just a pest. This guy's going to win Sixth Man of the Year. Mm-hmm. I can't help but think to that Summer League game when Boston took on Sacramento in the Summer League.
Okay.
Davion Mitchell's rookie year, and we were watching that on a watch party.
Yeah.
And we saw Davion Mitchell just shut down Peyton Pritchard. In that moment, like, oh, man, is Pritchard ever going to make it in this league? Now this guy is just his energy on both ends.
He's a dog. I mean, the way he bodies through whoever the hell's in front of him and his ability to, like, get someone up, stop, pop, get someone up in the air, patience, get a bucket at the basket, at the rim, get another one, just doesn't matter where it is from the outside. It's pretty incredible to see how he's developed into this type of player, too.
And you just see, like, the other, like, Baylor Shireman, the rookie, he comes in tonight, and he has a kind of the same mentality from the hustle perspective. There was one play in the fourth quarter where there was a miss. He comes flying in to tip the ball out. Then he sprints to the corner, gets the ball back, and hits the three.
Yeah.
Those are the hustle things. It's just championship-level shit. We think about a championship-level team, and it's like, oh, they must have the best players. They have very quality players tonight. Jaylen Brown didn't play in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Jason Tatum left late third. You know, it wasn't a totally smooth night for them.
No Al Horford tonight. You know, so it doesn't matter who's in and out of the rotations in the roster. Like, they have an identity as a team. Obviously, the champs, what am I trying to say?
I don't know.
I was going to say former champs, but
they're defending
champs. Thank you. I'm like, what's that word? Defending champs. And that to me is like, sure, you can expect this type of play from everyone. You can say, okay, this is how we're going to play. But as players, you have to want to play like that. And I feel like sometimes for the Sacramento Kings, I think where I was frustrated tonight is because I felt like every player didn't want to play like that. And how many of these games where it's against the Grizzlies and the Cavs and the desperation for those wins and making sure to hang on and do everything they need to do, you see it there. And you go, whoa, what other teams can this Kings team be? And then you see when they start losing and they don't fight back, like you see it in their shoulders. You see it in their body language. You see in the way that they change their style of play, whether it's going to ISO or it slows down. They're not going for those hustle plays and they're allowing a team to be the more physical team. You're seeing that in all of these losses.
And now they've lost 7 of 9. Yep. And you're right. You wonder if they're feeling the pressure here because, you know, they're seeing the standings. You know, the Suns, they're getting their shit together.
They're
doing it with a very tough schedule. Dallas, we said, hey, don't ignore them. Well, they got Anthony Davis back tonight. They're on the second half of back-to-back tomorrow when they take on the Knicks. They were in Brooklyn today and they got the win. But like, for Sacramento, if you handle your business and beat the Clippers, you lost on a Kawhi game winner. If you could have closed out Denver on the road the couple of games before that, okay, there's two. You're up 19 on Chicago. There's three. You didn't score in the final 4.5 minutes of the Bucks game. Four. All of a sudden, you're 39 and like 32, whatever the record, you know what I mean? Like what a switch it would have been if you were able to close out some of those games.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we literally the last month and a half, we've been saying control what you can control. And even when we looked at this stretch of games and this being one of the most difficult schedules in the NBA, it didn't matter because it was like, do what you can do though. Like no, whatever it is on the basketball floor, whatever it is against some of these teams that you're supposed to beat, just get it done. Easier said than done. But at the same time, if you even want to be considered a good team in this league, those are the things you have to do. And I just don't, I was going to say, I don't think this team is there. This team is not there.
No, we know that.
Yeah. I know.
LaVine ends up in this game with 14 points, 6 of 16 shooting, 1 of 5 from downtown. He had 4 turnovers. DeRozan, 20 points, 10 assists, but he was just 9 of 24. He's 0 for 4 from downtown.
The downtown numbers. And Doug talked about it after the game, and he said, you know, you see Keegan with 5 attempts. I need that to be 10. You see LaVine with 5 attempts. I need that to be 10. And I get, like, he wants to generate and attempt so many more threes, and he tells them that, but people aren't trigger happy. Like, they're not just...
I mean, but also, it's like, how can you generate threes against this defense when you don't have a point guard to break
things down. But it's not just against this defense, too. But that's fair.
But I've seen this team. This team is third in three-point percentage or something like that, second since the All-Star break. Maybe it's dipped now. So whatever. Top five since the All-Star break, and the three-point attempts have been up. It has been inconsistent. But part of this, too, and I know people don't like hearing this shit, but like, yeah, Sabonis missing a big chunk. I'm sorry. When I watched Sabonis sign that first quarter, I'm like, this is what you missed. Having a guy that grabs a rebound, can push it.
He's trying
to get the offense moving. And guess what? In that first half, the offense was moving well. It wasn't until the third quarter, okay? The third quarter when they started hunting mismatches instead. That's what I'm saying. In the first half, it was just free-flowing a little bit. Even missing shots, it just looked better. I need LaVine to be more aggressive, but I was like, okay, I like what I'm seeing here. Even DeMar is attacking. He's making the extra play. He had, what, 8 assists at the half?
Yeah.
Well, he ends up with 10 assists. In that third quarter, when Mazzulla changes up the matchups, they go, oh, hunting. And Boston's going, yes, please hunt that matchup. We want to take you out of your flow.
Because dude,
that's what...
They keep allowing these teams to dictate how they're going to play. And I understand, like, I completely understand against really good teams like the Boston Celtics, that shit's going to happen. But I've seen this Kings team even down this stretch. And I go back to the Cavs game because that's the best example, because it translated into a W and they played well. Where, like, even the Clippers game, they played well, but they didn't get the W. Like, you see these full games where they're capable of it, of not allowing the other team to dictate how they're going to play, or a good defense dictate how they're going to shoot the ball or get into the paint or whatever. Like, it may disrupt. It may really be a challenge, but they fought through in those moments. And I just feel like the last couple, you're not seeing those fighting through moments. You're seeing them adjust to the way that the other team's playing defense.
And just not crisp, because there's even moments. And is this a learning curve thing? Is this attention to detail? Is this just going through the motions? I text Morgan at one point going, I just saw Keegan try to set an off-ball screen for Zach LaVine. And Keegan's like awkwardly trying to set it, and LaVine's just not taking it.
Yeah.
Like, when you're going around a screen, like, you need to come off that screen with force, get that ball
with a purpose.
With a purpose. And he came off just so slow, and it got completely blown up. And that's what you see so many times with the Kings offense. They're at their best when they can get out and run, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, how's that happening? Well, they got to stop, and then they push. That's great. And they were able to create something. There's a numbers advantage. But there are too many times it's like, all right, half court time. Or they had, you know, passes in the fourth quarter that were just off target, too. They were trying to play too fast. But, I mean, LaVine, when he was being aggressive in the fourth quarter, I think it was when it was relatively close still, he had a steal, and he's pushing the other way. Again, the only guy who was running. Yeah. Everyone else was like, oh, he's got it, because they thought he was going to go dunk it. The Celtics had three guys back, right? And I can't remember. They called it a foul. Okay. And then Mazzulla challenged it. And it turns out, no, the Celtics got a hand on the ball. It was a turnover, Celtics ball. And it's just the frustrating moments you see with this team where you're like, well, why aren't we coming off with a purpose off these screens? Why aren't we consistently moving the ball? Why aren't we constantly attacking? And there's a disconnect here. And so, I don't know. Maybe LaVine is just not comfortable at all. You know, he missed a game a couple of games ago with personal shit going on. I don't know if there's more going on.
Yeah.
But there's something off, and it's one of those things where you go, hey, if it's one game, okay. But now there's like a track record of games where you're seeing like, he's not being aggressive enough. And it reminds me of times when Tyrese was here with De'Aaron, and we would say one of the two would not be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Are we starting to see the same thing with DeMar and LaVine where, okay, DeMar's going to get his 24 shots.
Uh-huh.
Which is crazy, right? You had 24 shots. There's got to be some there for LaVine. You can't let these guys disappear.
Yeah.
I just said a lot. I'm sorry.
No. Hey.
I'm venting.
It's okay.
Baby, don't cry. Got to keep your head up. Even when the road is hard, never
give
up.
Like, you turned it into a country song. It's not a country song.
It's
baby, don't cry.
Yeah.
Gotta keep her head up. Even when the road is hard, never give up. Yeehaw. No.
How do you want me to do it?
baby, don't cry. Gotta keep your head up, even when the road is hard. Never give up.
I'm sorry.
Baby, don't cry.
Tupac is alive. Holy shit. Was that? Wow.
It just happened. You know, thank you. I sounded just like him.
Oh.
But yes, we're not crying. We're completely fine. And so should you.
Yeah, but do you hear what I'm saying, though? There were minutes, we said this last game, too, where it's like, Levine's just chilling in the corner, or Levine's not being...
No. You just, the perfect example, and I'm just so glad you brought up that example that you did text me. You're like, why isn't he cutting off that? Like, you can't tell me that your teammates are not doing enough, and I'm not saying he's even said this, but, like, the question keeps getting asked, what more can his teammates do for him so he's getting the ball more and getting more shots off and blah, blah. If you're not taking a fucking screen, then, like, you're in being a willing cutter and doing all the other little things, then you don't want it. Then you don't want it. And I
see the same things defensively. Now I feel like I'm starting to pick on Levine here because it's not just him. But the reality is he has to look for ways. Like when I can see you turn it on in the fourth quarter and be aggressive, I need that same mentality. And Doug's mentioned this. Like, you need fourth quarter Zach earlier in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's the version you need. But defensively, guys, there's just got to be better help at times, you know, and. There was one play by Tatum in the first half where he's in transition. Keegan's on him. Okay, mm-hmm. Keegan's doing a good job. And Porzingis comes up at the free throw line to set a back screen on Keegan. And Sabonis and Keegan got caught up on that screen. And so Tatum is getting downhill. Levine is the help defender. Levine came over with one of the softest, like, contests, and Tatum jammed it home.
Yeah.
And I can't help but go, if that was Peyton Pritchard and that was Zach LaVine, right, getting downhill, and Pritchard was the help defender, he is going up and, like, either fouling him or, like, LaVine is going to have to earn that shit.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't feel that that happens on a consistent basis.
And that's with Sacramento. That's the type of urgency that I'm not feeling from Sacramento right now. And, like, I think times they do play desperate, but playing desperate doesn't mean that you're playing hard or means that you're playing the right way.
Yeah.
In fact, desperation can sometimes lead to bad basketball because you know if you don't get this win, where you're going to be in the Western Conference or where you might land in the standings or for the play-in or whatever. And I don't know if that's necessarily like on their mind every single night, but I'm telling you right now, after tonight with another loss, Suns win, Mavs win, it'll be a little bit more top of mind. But you don't, who cares? Like you're playing again in less than 24 hours?
Less than 24 hours. OKC coming to town.
In town.
Here's what Zach LaVine had to say after the game about how the team is feeling at this moment.
The vibe is not good. You know, it shouldn't be. We're not happy with the way we've been performing individually and as a group. And, you know, the games aren't going to stop. It's at the point of the season now where, it's nut crunching time. So figure out how to get a win. You know, we're playing good in spurts, obviously, but, you know, that doesn't win you a game. So. You know, we understand the standings, but we just got to take it one game at a time and figure out how to get one. We can't look too far ahead in that because if you do that, we're going to just keep snowballing like the way we are.
Oh, we're aware. You know, it's a very tough position, you know, and every game matters. And we just got to play our best basketball and win the most games we can to stay out of that.
There's Sabonis and LaVine after the game, courtesy of Matt George or ABC 10.
Yeah. And I mean, what Sabonis just said, I feel like is what we basically feel, right? It's you just got to figure it out. You got to win games. Doesn't matter who's in front of you, who you're playing, what's going on in your life. Like if you want this, like you'll figure it out. But if you don't want enough as a team, you just are what you are. And that's what how this season will end.
A lot of people got caught up on LaVine talking about the vibes.
Oh, yeah. Really quick, did you take anything weird from that?
I did not. I didn't. Because I think people, oh, when you read the quote, you're going, oh, the vibes are bad. Like, you think the vibes are bad within the locker room or with the players. No, I just think it's bad when you lose.
Yeah.
And it sucks. I didn't take it like, oh, the we hate each other. And Keon Ellis, after the game, was asked about that. This is from Tristy Rodriguez over at NBC Sports California. He says, I think the vibes in the locker room are great, actually. I just think on the court, we have to figure out how to come together a little more.
And that's absolutely fair. Because the vibes on the court doesn't mean people don't like each other. Yeah. It just means like the flow, the energy, whatever it is that isn't translating into dubs. You can see when the vibes are good on the court. The ball's flowing. It's quick. Everyone's passing. It's not like you have ball hogs, but you just have a whole bunch of guys that aren't meshing together possession after possession on both ends.
Sean has a question. Hey, Deuce, is the offense worse or the defense worse? Under 100 points is ugly. Yeah, that's a good question.
Tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it was both bad tonight in the second half. I mean, I don't know how to pick one. I also think Boston makes you look really ugly. They can make you look really, really bad. And they were connected tonight. They're playing some good basketball. I think they've won, 13 of their last 14 road games?
Yeah.
And this is a team that this regular season has had guys in and out of the lineup. Like, it's crazy to... I think I saw the stat before the game that was wild when it came to the Boston Celtics with their starting lineup, okay? Boston has been without at least one starter in 51 of their 71 games this season.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. I mean, in
Porzingis out.
And you think about how when we're talking about, okay, no Sabonis or no Malik Monk or, you know, even the beginning of the year, no De'Aaron Fox, whoever else it was, it never felt like the team had a flow or an identity to have that next man up mentality, right? Like sometimes that next man up could contribute those hustle plays, could contribute in other ways and make an impact, but it never felt like it was like to contribute to what the identity of the style of play was. And with the Celtics, obviously a championship caliber team, they can do that. They can do that with their depth, their bench. We talked about it already. Fantastic tonight. Obviously, Peyton Pritchard. What they do.
Emiliano in the chat. No one's making excuses. No one's making excuses. We were just talking about what happened in the game. I don't know. I mean, I'm not making
it. Maybe he's not saying it to you.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's just saying it out loud.
Sabonis came back tonight. That was a surprise of all surprise. He was questionable yesterday. Remember, he's supposed to be reevaluated in 10 days after the moderate ankle sprain. You think about his last couple of weeks. He had the hamstring strain. That night against Memphis, he got hit in the face, needs stitches, and then he left the game with the ankle sprain. He ends up coming back after missing 9 of the last 11 games for Sacramento. And yeah, he was moving well out there. He didn't look like he was laboring. He looked like he was ready.
He had a double-double in the first half, 10 and 10. But that wasn't even my favorite thing of what he was doing in the first half. I just loved the way that he was pushing the basketball, getting it and going. And he brings this energy of saying, run with me, guys, whether he's telling people on the floor, like, let's effing go, or if he's just doing it with the ball, with his actions, it does, like, whatever's happening down there, because obviously I can't hear. I love it. I love it so much. I love how he adds to the spark and to the pace. And we talk about when Malik Monk is out and like, oh, how they're missing that. But it's so nice that you still have that in someone like Sabonis.
That's why next year, I just
want.
I want to see young guys run up the floor with Sabonis. Yeah. I want to see Keon, Keegan, and Jake out there spreading their asses off, making plays on defense, hitting threes, moving without the ball. I think the Kings have some of these pieces that it could work with. I think it'd be really effective. I think it can. But right now, it's just kind of this mismatched unit where you're like, okay, like DeMar has a different style than this guy. This is all clunky. Oh, mm-hmm. we lean on LaVine because he makes a lot, and DeRozan and Sabonis. But God, those other guys probably are more versatile and they could help us. I need athleticism, versatility, switchability, movement, shooting, athleticism. Let's run up and down the floor and have some fun to play basketball.
That is something that Zach LaVine is capable of doing. Yes, and thriving. Well,
and the athletically push the ball shooting, yes. Not like defensively, but if he's playing with other guys who can guard, yeah.
It's a different energy that it would even bring to you on the defensive end. I mean, it's sad that I can point out the moments and the times where I'm like, shit, he's in a defensive stance. Like,
yeah.
Because he's capable of doing that so much more. And when you see him playing defense like that, you're like, yes, that is what you need to do. And I'm hoping maybe when there's a training camp and a culture being installed and an identity, whatever else it is, like the roster changing up, it can lead to something good with some of the pieces that they do have. I don't know what those answers are, but right now, like, it's not depressing. It just feels like shit again.
Let's get to the poll question tonight. Will the Kings make the play-in? The options, nope. 1, 2, 3, Cancun. Yes, and I'm starting draft homework.
Oh, frick.
57% of the people who have voted tonight say 1, 2, 3, Cancun.
And? What's next? Oh, God. The other two are just like
22% for yes and 21% for I'm starting draft homework. That. Colin says, if we ever trade Deuce and Mo, I'm done.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
Could you imagine if we could get traded
for like Bruce and Doe?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know for who. Where am I getting traded? They break us apart. It's like in WWE when like, they broke up tag teams when they used to do the draft on SmackDown and Raw. It's like, oh my God, the Dudley boys aren't together anymore. Bubba Ray is on Raw.
What would be our WWE breakup? Like I turn on you with like a chair. No. You're a heel. I would be like we just won a match. Like, yeah, yeah. And then you would like go John Cena on me. You would don't. Yes. Yeah. And you just like give me a big hug. Like, yeah. And then you give the evil eye
and
to
I
the
kick
camera.
You in the.
In the nuts.
In the nuts.
Yep.
Interesting. If you have not done it yet, hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Appreciate you guys so much for being here because you guys are the true basketball sickos.
Give me a hell yeah.
And we will get you through whatever we're about to go through the rest of the season and the off season. We are locked in and ready to go. Baby, don't cry. we got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. We got to mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. There's no better place to go than Centivo Vineyards and Winery, Morgan.
No way. And I could use a few more bottles right now. Yeah. And if you need some of those bottles, you just go to CentivoVineyards.com. They got a new tasting room opening up in Fairfield, spring 2025. So right when the weather is perfect, you can also become a wine club member. They are the best family in the world. They're huge Kings fans, and they're probably drinking up their wine, too, after another loss like this. So make sure to head to CentivoVineyards.com.
Also presented tonight by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. We are all one at Golden One, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings, and you got to scan that QR code on the screen or go to GoldenOneCreditUnion.com to see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today. Plus, how about the perks? 50% off Kings home games, 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. That's how you win as one at Golden One. Also presented today by our friends who are Medic Ambulance.
We are thrilled to team up with Medic Ambulance, the trusted name in emergency medical services across Northern California. From life-saving responses to being the team behind the scenes at your favorite events, Medic is there to serve. When seconds matter, trust the professionals setting the standard in patient care. Medic is the official emergency medical response partner of Sac Republic and Sac State Athletics. Learn more at medicambulance.net.
We're also presented today by Mando! Morgan, the Kings may have been stinky, but guess what?
No,
no trust. Smell my armpit.
I don't want to.
No, no. Smell it. Smell it now.
Can I smell the deodorant?
No, no, this is a point.
Okay.
Mm. Oh my God. It smells great.
Let me smell.
Mando. What a game changer. I'm not kidding you. So I'm reading about this and I'm going, okay, 72-hour protection. Okay. Guess what? They even say you take a shower, it's still on.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I will test that out. I took a shower today, put no deodorant on. And I'm like, what? I still smell great? It's a game changer. So get Mando. Shop Mando.com, promo code DMPOD. From the founders of Lumi, Mando has long-lasting 72-hour odor control that actually stops odor before it starts. The best part, Morgan?
Yeah?
Put it everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. Pits? Your arms?
What about on your face?
Sure. Your balls? That's what they say. This is packages. Put that skin on. Folds? Knees?
I could put that on my balls?
Yes, you can. So check out Mando today. The starter pack, the Mando starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code, Morgan, that equates to over 40% off your starter pack. Use promo code DMPOD at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Smell fresher, stay drier, and boost your confidence from head to toe with Mando.
I like Dude, it. You yeah. do smell better.
You get in there. Get in there.
I already did. We're not doing this every read.
You don't remember the Nasty Boys in WWE?
No, I don't. No. No, but I just seen your motion. You were going to take my head and shove it in your armpit.
Yeah.
Good job not doing that.
The Nasty Boys.
Good job.
Are the Bushwhackers? Who did that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like it either way.
Morgan Reagan, Kings, yeah. Celtics. What a fun night. Anything else in particular jump out to you in this game? We mentioned LaVine. We mentioned the third quarter changes by Joe Mazzulla and the Boston Celtics. We talk about Peyton Pritchard. We talk about Sabonis' return.
Making sure. I want to go back to just what you said about the third quarter, Doug sticking with the starters, maybe not trusting the other guys or just not going to the other guys, whatever. Because I think about what Trey Lyles did in that last game. I'm not acting like he was going to have that same game against the Boston Celtics. Sure. I also understand that there was... Sabonis was back. There was other bodies back and he was going to have limited time, but you needed a different type of spark.
That's what
guys.
I'm saying. Laravia. Yep. I would like, that's a game. Like I'm looking at Boston's bench and I know some of this may be a little misleading, but they leaned on like Baylor Shireman tonight played 28 minutes.
Yeah.
Luke Cornett played 25. Payne Pritchard played 34. They went with an 8-man rotation. And so, you know, you are in like, the first night of a back-to-back, and DeRozan plays 38 minutes tonight.
Oh, God.
Does DeRozan need to be playing 38 minutes anymore?
Well, that alone, but also just like, you're right, it's a back-to-back. And I know it's a home back-to-back, but it's against two very good teams where you're going to want to rely on him to get you a bucket tomorrow night. Just hoping everyone has fresh legs in the second night of a back-to-back. So I guess that would be my only thing when I look at tonight. Not my only thing. I'm just saying as we look at everything and make sure that we hit on everything, that would be my last thing that I just want to emphasize is like, okay, when do you go to trusting your other guys? Not like, don't play desperate and be like, oh no, we got to keep our starters in because things are going downhill and they're the only ones. I get those moments are going to happen. But you can still stagger the rotation and get some of those guys out there and be like, you know, we need this spark of energy here. Though we're not getting shots, we can get this guy. I don't know. A little bit more of that.
I know we hit on Tatum a bit. There's a lot of people unhappy about Sabonis' closeout.
Really?
In the NBA universe tonight.
Oh,
I think closing
on.
Out is just so tough, to be honest. I didn't feel like there's anything dirty about it. Like, that's why it was a flagrant foul. It was considered reckless, so... they had the two shots to make one and got the ball back. But I don't know. It's just tough. Bigs are sloppy with it too because they're not super nimble.
For sure. But like out of all the closeouts I've seen, by bigs, even if we're just putting it in that category, of closing out on a shooter and getting in their space. Got in their space, got in his or in Tatum's space. I didn't even think it was like the sloppiest thing in the world. Absolutely, it's deemed a flagrant foul. Like, I have no problem with it being that because that is what it's deemed. But I didn't think he was sloppy. Thought he was trying to go off more to the side. I just thought it was bad luck. And bad luck and Sabonis definitely was in his space. But I don't think there's anything to be angry about, especially when Sabonis, in my opinion, and tell me if I'm wrong, I don't think he's a dirty player. I think he's a physical player.
No, I don't think, no. And he did apologize after the game. He said to the media that he felt bad about the play. Here's what he said.
I feel horrible. You know, I've had a crazy month myself personally, you know, and you never want that to happen, you know, so I apologize.
Yeah.
And he apologized to him right away on the, like, as soon as he got back up off the bench to go shoot the free throws, he went to him at the half court line. It really sucks when that stuff happens, but it sucks because it sucks when you're the person that does it too. And I really feel like you're a good person and then you just feel like shit too, because you don't ever want to be deemed one of those people.
No. And hopefully he's okay. You know,
that's when I saw Tatum go down, I felt it because I was like, this is not good for the NBA.
Right.
I was like, I don't like this. I don't care if this is going to benefit the Kings, him not being out there, all the different things. I want him to play. And so I'm glad he got up, though.
He was awesome tonight when he played. Yeah. And they really were spamming that high pick and roll, like they do a lot, with him and Cornette. And he would either step into a deep three, sometimes contested three. I mean, he's hitting he had that one-legged three-pointer he hit tonight. We're in the two-man game where Laravia got caught in the screen. And he literally shot off 1 foot, hit the three. Yeah.
The runner. Some
contested ones. And then, you know, he's able to get into the paint and make plays for others. You know, for him to be as effective as he was in just 26 minutes. I mean, he was on his way to drop in a 40 piece tonight.
Yeah.
He was awesome in this game. Go ahead.
No, that was, I mean, not fun to see, but just his way of generating so many different looks for himself. I mean, his ability to split defenders and, like we said, shoot the deep three with very little space, hand all up in his face, and still being able to make it's pretty incredible to watch. And I do think he is an underappreciated player in this league.
Some comments. Adam says, you two are awfully joyful after the loss, sort of making me optimistic now. I really just want to shit on how poorly constructed this team is. You are stealing my joy of negativity tonight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you know, it's funny you say that. I don't think we've sounded positive. No. I think here's the thing.
That's funny.
I personally don't think I could do. Look, if I'm angry, I'm going to be angry on the podcast. I think we've said this so many times this year.
We've done it so many times.
I've had angry podcasts. I've had just sad podcasts. I've had very happy ones. Oh, fog. Oh, so my God. Fun. Appreciating the wins.
Yeah.
But like, I can't, after every loss, come in here, what the hell is this? You got to change it. All these conversations are going to happen over the offseason. We've hit on a lot. We've hit on them throughout the year. You just have to kind of be in the moment here. And I'm talking about this game tonight. I can't be angry after every pod. I don't do this podcast to yell and scream. I do this podcast because I like hanging out with you guys, hanging out with Morgan. And to be honest, if there's a podcast where we don't laugh or have some fun, it bugs me. Yep. I walk away going, were we too serious? This is just fucking basketball.
And that's what Doug said that after the game. He's like, I want these guys to remember that this is a child's game. And like, even if you don't want to hear that time, but like, if you remember that joy that you'd play with, that you'd step out on the floor with, that's what you got to do. At the end of the day, we're podcasting talking hoops. Yeah. Like, it's not life or death. It's not politics that we're talking about. Like, sure, we're all fans here of this team and of basketball and of the NBA, and we want to see good stuff. But at the same time, it's just like, you got to make sure that you're just always have a positive perspective on it all.
I think the other thing, what I've accepted too, is, okay, if they miss the play-in entirely, and they miss it.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably keeping their first round pick this year, and it's not going to Atlanta. And so in this draft that everybody seemingly loves, you have a lottery pick. Great. It's not ideal, okay, but none of this is ideal. But if I'm looking at the price, okay, cool. And if they made the play-in and lost their pick, I would be slightly bummed about losing the pick this year. But then the pick would convert to Atlanta and you'd be done with it, and then you'd open up your 26, 27, 20. You'd have your picks going forward. Doesn't mean you have to trade them, but it's like, okay, your cupboard's more full.
Yeah.
I'm not in some alternate universe where I'm like, dude, I think they can make a big run here. Like, there's Suns fans that believe that if they get in, that they can make some noise. And I think you have that level of confidence because you have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I think, and for the Mavs, it means a lot for them to try to make some sort of push based on how this season went. Could you imagine? I didn't even think about this possibility. If the Mavs got on the plane, somehow got into the playoffs, like say they have AD back, Lively, Gafford, they're just defensive menaces, and they played like the Lakers in the playoffs. How crazy would that be?
That would be fun.
That's very unlikely. That would not happen because they would have to go through OKC. Still fun. No, but I've just kind of accepted like this is where it's at. Like, it's going to be an off season of change. The Kings have an interim coach right now. There's questions galore. They can't come back with the same team next year. Like, so it's like, I don't know. I guess I'm just looking forward to seeing how it unfolds. Yeah. Scared to death sometimes.
Absolutely. But
nervous.
You know what's fun? Talking about how it all unfolds, watching it all, how it all unfolds together. And that's why like having conversations about it and being able to do these podcasts, it's important to like talk about the tea together. Let's have some fun.
Let's get to some super chats too.
Sure.
And also I want you guys, while I read some super chats, to tell us who would be your simply the best player of the game. Super chat from Mike. Celtics complain about every call. Kings hardly do.
I feel like the Kings were complaining a lot tonight. But there was a lot of good reason at times too.
Juan San donates $5 saying that Mando segment is how Mo starts her heel turn and gets the chair and turns on Deuce.
Ooh.
Sebastian donates $2. Spurs need a streak to catch up. Not too far away.
It's not happening,
Sebastian. Jacob donates $5 saying, just started my first LLC today. Pray for lots of business, everything to go smooth. Shout out to all the basketball sickos. God bless.
Congratulations, Jacob. That's awesome.
Congrats on starting your own business. But yeah. Be patient. Deal with the ups and downs, my friend.
All of it. And enjoy the ride.
Who would be your simply the best player of the game, Morgan?
Easy. Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I would give it to Tatum, too.
Pritchard?
Couple people mentioning Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah.
Who I thought really was awesome.
He was. I don't know. There's something about Jason Tatum for me. And again, how he plays basketball. It's just so fun to watch.
Jason Tatum are simply the best player of the game. 25 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 8 of 15 shooting, 5 of 9 from downtown. He is our simply the best player of the game, presented by Northwest Exteriors, celebrating their 30th anniversary. Check out all the specials on their website. Scan that QR code to go to northwestexteriors.com because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
I'm going to give some of it to, I should have done a split Tatum Pritchard.
He did all that though in 3 quarters.
26 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Impressive.
So impressive. And there was, I thought Keegan made him work at times. Some of the stuff wasn't on Keegan, right? Like they could hunt out switches. He was getting stuff in transition. He's a talented player, man. Yeah, he was hitting some threes that were just like, what do you do? I mean, again, when you're taking 1 foot threes,
like a runner.
Literally a runner. That's when you know your confidence is just sky high. You come off that screen, there's no defenders there. You're like, I'm going to throw this shit up. Buckets.
Yeah. But I see why Peyton Pritchard was almost a split screen. Again, for his size, his ability to like get to the rack, but then he takes a 2-footed jump stop, gets his defender up, battles through their chest, finds a way to finish. Is a shooter, is strong, It's impressive.
In the chat, Deuce and Mo, what did you think of Markelle Fultz tonight? I think he's the best point guard we have to start. Not going to lie. Yeah, I think if you're trying to start Markelle Fultz, it's just you're just not a very good team. I think he's a good role player in this league. I think defensively he could do some nice things. I'm happy to see him shooting with some confidence.
Yes, yes.
He knocked down a couple of threes tonight. He was 2 of 2, 3 of 4. He had 8 points, 2 assists. The 3-point, it's such a weird-looking shot. And for it to go in, I'm just happy for him, especially everything he's gone through in his career.
Yep, yeah. I mean, he had a baseline jumper as well, yeah. Like where he was just confident with it. And if he's going to do that, it's going to go in while also being an aggressive defender. I love it. There was one, God, I forget what play actually happened. So I hate that I'm even bringing this up, but it was a defensive play. And something happened and he just was like, my bad, my bad. Like something he either let someone blow by him or screwed up on the closeout or something. And it was frustrating to see, but it was just a quick, like, that was on me. Accountability.
Keegan Murray ends up in this game with 13 points. He had 5 rebounds. He was 5 of 11 shooting, 3 of 5 from downtown. I don't know. I feel like I am going to hold my Keegan Murray stock forever. I just, if this offseason he can go to another level and work on his ability to break down.
Yeah.
Maybe he's never going to be able to do it consistently, but I've seen more of him in transition this year that I like. Tonight, dude, he beat Jason Tatum off the dribble tonight and attacked the rim.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. And then what he does defensively, I think he does, he's strong, he is long, he doesn't back away from any damn challenge tonight. He was dealing with Jason Tatum at times, and I thought he did some nice things on Jason Tatum.
If he can be your third or fourth guy that you're going to on the offensive end, you're going to be a good team. You know what I mean? Where it's like, he doesn't have to be the one or two. He doesn't have to be the two or even, I mean, you know,
yeah, I think he's capable of scoring 20 a game in this league.
I do too. But I think when that pressure isn't on him and when there's other people that can generate more around him, it just allows like,
yeah, I honestly think he has that to give, but because of how this roster is this year, he just not, I think if he was in a better spot, like let's just say over the offseason, they clear some of this stuff up, okay? And we talk about like, hey, play more Keon and Keegan. I think with more opportunity offensively, he could do more. And I think you're seeing more signs of it recently.
I completely agree. But that, again, that goes to the roster being different. And that's what I'm basically saying. Like, I know he could have nights where he's like that number two guy that you can depend on. Yeah. But if you had a roster where you have two guys ahead of him that are heavy scorers, those threats alone are just going to make him a better offensive player too, as he keeps on growing and growing his confidence on that end in different ways, not just shooting from three, obviously what we saw in his rookie year.
Cameron says other Sacramento sports pundits are bringing up tanking. Your thoughts, Deuce and Mo? I mean, you have a half game lead right now for the play-in and your schedule's brutal. Do you see the schedule coming up? You got OKC tomorrow. You got Portland. After that, you hit the road. You see the road trip? It's not easy. I mean, you're talking about a road trip that features Orlando. They just beat LA tonight. They're tough. They're a tough out. Last time you saw them, it wasn't pretty because they've got size and length. We just mentioned Portland before that, a team that the Kings struggle with. I think on that road trip, you have Indiana playing really good basketball right now. Okay. You've got Cleveland. Okay. You got Washington and Charlotte as games. You go, oh, I feel like we can win those games. And then you also have Detroit. Dude, that's beyond tough. And then you come home for Denver, the Clippers, and the Suns. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. So you go, they don't have to. They may just not make it because they're not good enough, and that's their schedule. So I don't understand. Like, let's tank it. It's like, no, you're gonna go up to DeMar DeRozan, Sabonis, and LaVine. Sabonis is coming back from an injury. Go, hey, dude, we're tanking. What are you trying to build here? It's like, you know, you figure it out and live with the results. And if the result is you missed a plan because you weren't good enough, then guess what? We make some changes this offseason. You get your pick and you figure it out. I don't think you need to intentionally try to do anything like that. That's how I look at it.
I'm definitely right there.
You know, the schedule's tough. They've lost 7 of 9. So, like, what do you want? Hey, Sabonis, DeMar, LaVine, don't show up to work for a while. We're playing Isaiah Crawford and company. I mean, okay. I mean, I guess you could do that. They're just not going to do that. Like I think this ownership group has made that clear. Like, yeah, they want to try to stay relevant. There's certain teams in the league that go, you know what? We are not trying to like tear down and rebuild. We would rather retool and try to tinker and figure it out if we don't have the success that we aimed for. And you look at the schedule coming up, I just went over it. It's tough. Mm. I mean, the way things are going right now, it doesn't feel like they're going to win many games down the stretch. Like, give them the Portland game. Okay. Let's give them one between Orlando and Indiana.
Okay.
Let's give them both Washington and Charlotte. Sure. We're being nice here. And then they're going to lose Cleveland, Detroit. We'll just say that.
Sure.
Okay. Then out of Denver, LA, Phoenix, how many are there?
One.
Okay. So
maybe
five more wins. That puts you at 40. Is that enough? No. The one good thing with the Dallas thing, we should know the half game lead if you're excited about playing or whatever. The Kings have the tiebreaker on Dallas.
Yeah.
So that's actually a bigger lead than, you know, it says on paper. Phoenix, you have the tiebreaker at the moment, but you still have one game to play.
I know we always have to go over the standings.
Yeah.
But it does, I would say that sometimes ends up being the more depressing thing to me.
But you, again, things can change fast. You don't know how it's going to play out. That's why we play the game. Hey, why we play the games, Mo. We play the games, you know? Oh, man. Someone in the chat says, you don't benefit from tanking. You don't have your pick. Or the Kings have their, they would have their pick. It's top 12 protected. So if it falls in the top 12, it's theirs. If it falls outside the top 12, that pick goes to the Atlanta Hawks from the Kevin Herter deal. So, yeah. A couple of things before we get on out of here. Shout out to our colleague.
Yeah.
Our buddy. One of my favorite Kings players growing up. Mike
Bibby.
Who got hired today, agreed to a deal to be the new head coach at Sac State. Let me just tell you, my stinger is way up.
All the way up.
All the way up.
All the way up.
So Mike Bibby, no longer a broadcaster, huh? Is he finishing out the season? Do we know?
We don't know these details.
Mike Bibby, congratulations to him. I know he's been wanting to do the coaching thing for a long time. He had some success, a lot of success at the high school level in Arizona. And now he's heading to a basketball program, a university that is really focused on improving the sports programs. They're trying to do some things in this NIL era. They're trying to add some juice to the football program, and now they make a hire in the basketball program to a guy in Mike Bibby, who was a really good NBA player. His dad, of course, coached too in college and played in the NBA. But I'm happy for Mike.
Super happy for Mike. Also, love that it gets to be in Sacramento, a city that means so much to him, that obviously loves the hell out of him. And it's just cool that he's going to be around more. He gets to do something that he's been wanting to do. I love it. I love it so much. Excited to go check out some games next year.
Yeah. Get ready to go to work, Mike.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work to be a college coach. You ready, man?
Have fun, bud.
Hell yeah.
I love it. Coach.
Be on the road, baby. Recruiting.
Dude.
Closing deals.
A whole different life.
It's cool. I mean, it would be nice to have like a college basketball team. I don't know, that had some life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and they're trying to work on a new venue. And, you know, over the year, it's just been a challenge for Sac State for so long. It's not because, like Brian Katz was there for years, right? Great guy.
Yeah.
Good coach. But you got to have resources, too. And they've been playing, and no disrespect, right? I went to Sac State.
Yeah.
They're the Hornets' Nest. Is like a high school, it's worse than a high school gymnasium. And they're trying to like, how do you recruit like high level athletes or get people to stay in town when they come to the facilities on the tour? And it's like, hey,
everyone wants the shiny toy too. Like when you're that young too, it's like when you have something in front of you, you don't want just the gear. Yeah. You want the nice facility. You want the nice things. And so I love that they're trying to grow everything as well.
My favorite Mike Bibby moment since working with him the last couple of years is at Christmas time, he bought us, he's a Jordan guy.
Yeah.
he got us all Jordans, and I had never had Jordans in my life. And I went, wow, I got my first pair of Jordans in my late 20s.
In your 30s.
From Mike Bibby, one of my favorite players growing up.
So cool.
How cool is that?
Is my Jordans, I won't wear mine. And I just want them in the box forever and have them as like, Mike Bibby gave me these Jordans. It's the coolest thing ever. Yeah. Love him. So happy for him. Such a great guy. And I hope he has fun and sees a lot of success.
Congratulations to Mike Bibby. We'll have him on the pod soon. We mentioned the Suns tonight. They beat the Bucks 108-106 with the Devin Booker game winner. Durant had 38 in the game, Morgan. 38 as they beat the Bucks tonight. Dame Lillard did not play in that game. He missed it. Another game for the Milwaukee Bucks. The Lakers lose again after getting hammered by the Bulls the other night. Orlando gets them 118-106.
Damn.
Well, they tried to crown the Lakers as champions after the Luka deal. That's what happened. I swear to you, the national media, every time I told you this, it's like, hey, Warriors win a little bit. It's like, they're the champs now, right? They're the favorites. Lakers, they're the favorites now. Well, they're slip sliding a little bit here Orlando gets them tonight. 118-106. You mentioned Dallas. They got Anthony Davis back. He played just 26 minutes because the Mavs were in control. He had 12 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists in his first game since his debut against the Rockets. They beat the Nets tonight. 120-101. Najee Marshall at 22 off the bench. I want to get to this game.
Okay.
What do you think Chicago Bulls fans, are they laughing at us in Sacramento a little bit? They have to be.
Why?
They trade DeMar and LaVine. Both those guys end up in Sacramento. Uh-huh. And the baby Bulls since the break, I think they're like 10-7 now.
Holy shit.
They went to Denver tonight and beat the Nuggets. Nuggets did not have Jokic, but it doesn't, again, who cares?
Who cares?
They went on the road in a close game, took over down the stretch, winning 129-119. Kobe White, his third straight 30-point game. He had 37 points. He was also named today the Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Well deserved.
Kobe White with 37.
Good for
Josh Giddey, 26 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds in the victory tonight over the Denver Nuggets. Wow.
Yeah, they are probably laughing at the things.
They're going, oh my God, we were in our feelings about this for a second, and now we're fun. We share the ball. They had 31 assists tonight. They hit 17 of 39 from downtown, moving the ball, playing with joy. Kevin Herter's making threes. Well, he's 1-7 tonight. You know what I mean?
I know. That's pretty impressive.
Oh,
that's impressive. Thank you for rubbing that one in.
But like, I'm happy for their fans because when you have a young team that has some, especially after the deadline, you're not expecting much. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Think about what we feel after even the big trade.
Yeah.
After the firing.
Right. When they took off and won whatever 7 in a row.
It's fun when you feel that little glimmer of hope.
Man. But it's just, and they're going to be in the play-in, right? Even though they're 32-40 now, but talking about some big time wins over the Kings, over the Lakers, and then tonight on the road against the Denver Nuggets. One thing, bad news, someone just mentioned in the chat, and I didn't see that this was officially confirmed.
I saw it.
Dude, Juju Watkins suffered a torn ACL in her right knee tonight. She's going to undergo surgery.
The best player in college basketball, and that's what happened tonight. It sucks. It sucks for her team. Just hoping a speedy recovery for her, because with everything she's doing right now in the game and obviously off the court as well, with just the way she's been able to really market herself, all the endorsements, all the different things. I just hope she has speedy recovery, back on the floor doing her thing. She's so good for the game of basketball. Dude. not women's basketball.
She's a stud.
She's
an absolute stud. So hopefully she recovers and comes back better than ever. Man, that's a bummer.
Yeah, huge.
Let's get to some final thoughts. We're on a back-to-back. Tomorrow's game, by the way, on TNT. TNT only. No local at all pre- and post-game. It's just TNT. The good news, Deuce Mason back on pre- and post-game for Kings Blazers.
Oh.
Right? I think so.
I think so too.
Okay, you made me hesitate. I'm pretty sure that's when.
No,
I'm
I think you're right. I don't even know the schedule anymore.
Anyway,
yeah,
Kings Thunder tomorrow night, TNT game. Jared Greenberg doing play by play. Our buddy Jared Greenberg. He's going to be on the call with Greg Anthony and Laura Jabara on the sidelines for that game on TNT.
Oh, yeah.
Kings and Thunder. This Thunder team, I mean, I think most of you basketball sickos are very familiar with OKC.
Mm-hmm.
We watched their game last night against the Clippers, playing without Jalen Williams, no Chet last night. SGA wasn't super efficient, but again, like, they have different ways they can beat you. And you talk about a team that's so connected, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where, you know, Caruso last night.
Like, yeah.
Playing tremendous defense, coming up with big rebounds, hitting big shots. They are just relentless, and they're together.
And they play with joy.
Yep.
That togetherness. It's a fun style of basketball to watch. It translates into a lot of W's. It's a really hard team to beat, and it's a team that, like, even will make you feel like, oh, maybe you have a fighting chance in the third. And then they just take off in the fourth. I mean, how many times have we seen them do that this season, you know?
Dude, it feels like there's many times. I mean, yesterday against the Clippers, they get down big, and you're like, okay, let's see. This is early on. And they go on a 15-0 run, and they take control of the game. But, yeah, you're right. There's so many times where you're hanging in there against them, and then fourth quarter comes, they shut you down.
So I'll do this with my final thoughts then. I will say, second night of a back-to-back against a really good team. Just leave it all out there.
Last time you played them was the night of the Luka trade. I'll never forget that because we got back to the studio.
Oh, God.
And we're going to do the podcast. And it was the night... Or did we do with the podcast? Or wait, no. We came back.
That's what I'm saying.
To do the podcast about we're going to... All right, Kings Thunder. The Kings allowed over 70 points in the paint that night. It was just a complete...
Awful.
I mean, Aaron Wiggins had a career game against Sacramento in that game. And we're about to go live. Right before we get live, we get the Shams notification. Luka had been traded to the Lakers. And then the whole podcast was about that.
Yep. Which made it way more fun.
Yeah.
Like, way more fun. That can't happen because obviously we already had the trade deadline has passed.
Yes.
So you just need a good game from the Sacramento Kings that we can actually talk about this time and hopefully not 70 points in the paint and other bad things. So yeah, just leave it all out there. Leave it all out there.
Colin kind of summed up my final thought in the chat and he said, Deuce and Mo are riding the high of acceptance.
Oh,
and maybe that's where we're at. That's acceptance.
Good way to put it.
But you know what? My emotions, you know how they go.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night could be completely different.
Deuce gets fog. He goes, we're winning an effing championship.
I never go that far.
Never.
I don't. No. When have I been that irrational? I've never come in here and said championship. I never said anything like that.
Not championship. 50 wins.
Oh, before the season? Yeah.
That's not irrational. There's
definitely a montage if you had like Sacramento media people before the season go, dude, 50 wins. I mean, look, you replaced DeRozan with HB. Like, that's an upgrade. Like, you're just going to be better. Like, I mean, yeah. And remember, like, last year, Monk and Herter got hurt at the end of the season. Look, Herter is in a much better spot now mentally. He knows his role. I think Keon's going to be better. And, like,
just because you don't use the C word.
The pressure that DeRozan's taking off Fox, just having another guy that break down the defense. How are they not going to win 50 games? Morgan, they won 46 last year with everything that went wrong.
Yep.
Damn, dude.
I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm sorry for being optimistic every once in a while.
So, again, we were just talking championship. I'm like, that is your version every year before the season starts.
And Jersey Devs in the chat says, if we beat OKC tomorrow, I'm expecting enough fog to give Mo a violent coughing attack.
Thanks.
Yeah. If they be OKC tomorrow, I'm spraying, taking the fog machine right to your face.
And then I'm taking that fog machine and shoving it up your candy ass. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Do us a favor after the show. Go in the YouTube comments, comment away about how you want to fix this team, what you would do. We'll be back live tomorrow night on Kings and Thunder. We love you guys so, so, so much, you basketball sickos, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your evening. Thanks for being here.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.